Grinch presents Lie Detector. Kyle and Audrey have been hooked up to a lie detector. Let's see who's telling the truth and who's lying.
I have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so I never have to wait to get the newest iPhone.
I don't have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so it's 15 months until I can upgrade to the new iPhone 6S. But I don't mind waiting. And I'm not jealous of your new iPhone either. Honestly, I'm not lying.
Get the fire extinguisher!
On second thought, can I just switch to Sprint?
The world's best offer on iPhone 6S. Get iPhone 6S as low as $1 a month when you trade in your iPhone 6. And with iPhone Forever, get a new iPhone every year forever.
Offer not available everywhere. Includes 21-month lease, no security deposit. Excludes taxes, subject to well-qualified credit. New line port at $36 activation fee. Requires smartphone trade-in. Regular $22 a month. iPhone Forever's lease upgrade eligibility does not guarantee monthly payment amount, phone selection, or plan rates. Services additional charge. Remaining lease payments due if service canceled. Restrictions apply. See Sprint.com.
Welcome to Cloud Talk Radio, where listeners hear from business leaders about relevant topics from marketing to cash flow management. Tune in every week with hosts Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix and stay engaged with a growing audience of like-minded entrepreneurs. Learn critical business skills and get answers to questions that help you manage better businesses. Cloud Talk Radio, your business resource in the internet age.
Well, welcome to Cloud Talk Radio. This is your host, Keith Enix, and today we are getting loud in the cloud. I have a special co-host guest today. It is Neil Enix. He's my brother. And today we're going to be talking about the latest in technology as well as an unusual topic that has a big impact on the online presence of your business, but it's something we haven't talked about before, and it's related to the Google algorithm update. And if you don't know what I just said, don't worry. We'll go ahead and explain a little later in our show what that means. So if you're listening to us for the very first time, be sure to check out some past episodes. Go to www.cloudtalkradio.com. We talk about the latest and how to grow your business, and we interview industry leaders on how to grow your business with different cloud tools and utilizing cloud tools for your business and proper applications. Last week, we were actually talking with Doug Sleater. He's head of the Sleater Group, and he talked about some different cloud tools you can use for your business, as well as how agility trumps ability in your business. And if you want to know what that means, go ahead and go back to last week's episode and listen to that at cloudtalkradio.com. If you have any questions or comments on this episode, feel free to tweet us at Cloud Talk Radio or send us a question at questions@cloudtalkradio.com, and we'll be sure to answer one or two of our featured listener questions on the very next episode. Well, before we get to today's main topic, let's go ahead and take a look at our technology spotlight for the day. And if you listen to last week's episode, you heard Doug Sleater talking a little bit about this company as he went down to actually visit them at their California-based office, and he was quite impressed, actually, with the growth of the company. The company actually started in India. This company is called Zoho. You may have heard of them. And what they provide for companies is a free client relationship management tool. And if you want to learn more about client relationship management, we have some past episodes that talk about that. If you have not used client relationship management tools for your business, you should. And Zoho is a great way to start if you're looking to just kind of dive in without having any sort of financial commitment to the software. So go to Zoho.com and check out their software there. They have much more than just a client relationship management tool. They have tools for IT companies, organization and management for your company, and lots of other things. So go ahead and check out Zoho.com, and they are the technology spotlight for the day. Well, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Neil Enix about the latest Google algorithm updates. First off, what does that mean for your business? It has a big impact on your business. And how do you stay within the boundaries of what Google's asking with your website so that you're not susceptible to a Google algorithmic penalty? So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Why should you move to the cloud? You can run your business from anywhere. Have the freedom to collaborate 24/7. Enjoy the security of a disaster recovery plan with data center storage. Access all of your data and applications from any computer, tablet, or smartphone. Give yourself the power to compete. Why shouldn't you move to the cloud? You can save time and money. Get in the cloud and start working smart. Go to cloud9realtime.com, your partner in the cloud. cloud9realtime.com.
Well, welcome back to Cloud Talk Radio. This is Keith Enix here, and we just covered our technology spotlight about Zoho.com and their free CRM. And now we're going to be diving into our main topic of the day regarding a Google algorithm update, or Google algorithm updates. And so this show has really sparked a lot of interest in the last few days, as Google just recently, as I understand, released their latest vicious Penguin 3.0 update, which was the first Penguin update in the last year. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, so I'm going to ask Neil, who is our co-host here today and guest. Neil, how are you doing today? And maybe you can kind of give a little bit of background of where you come from and then explain what is a Google algorithm update and what is Penguin?
Oh, sure. So, first of all, my background is in internet marketing with the search engine optimization side specifically, as well as inbound marketing. Been doing it for several years. And it's funny that you talk about vicious furry animals. In this case, it's going to be funny if we could actually have a chance to listen across the entire audience of marketing companies and other companies who actively do SEO. We would actually find two crowds, funny enough. First of all, there is going to be a cheering crowd. This latest update has been well awaited by many, many companies who got hit by the previous Penguin update. And just kind of give a little bit of background, the previous Penguin update ended up hitting several companies and causing them to go into a penalty. And what that penalty did is it ended up impacting their search engine rankings specifically, and we ended up seeing a lot of companies lose almost all of any kind of rankings that they had. It was very vicious. Well, what ended up happening with this last release is a lot of those companies went through, tried to fix their backlink profile, any of the links that were coming into their website that didn't follow Google's guidelines, and then those that they weren't able to do anything with, they ended up filling out Google's disavow tool and sending them in a list of links that they weren't able to do anything with, but that they recognized did not follow Google's guidelines. And nothing had happened for quite a while until now. And this is very recent. We're looking at just within the last week or so, back on October 17th, and we ended up seeing a lot of lift for these companies that had been under penalties. So on the one hand, you've got a very excited crowd who, after all their efforts, are finally seeing some uplift in their rankings. Is it going to be the same as it was before? No, it's not. Usually they'll see some type of uplift, but it won't be the type of rankings that they had previously. But at the same time, they're just happy to have any type of uplift. On the other
end, it's just interesting. I think about all these terms you're using, and some of these might actually not be understood. You know, for instance, disavow tool, you know, what's that? And I know what you're talking about, but I think of our listeners out there, accountants, IT, maybe some of you in the IT world have heard some of these things, but I definitely imagine accountants aren't really keeping up on the latest, you know, Penguin update or Panda update. First off, maybe we could just kind of cover what does it mean to have an algorithm update? Why does Google do that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's a great point there, Keith. So basically, Google wants to have the best possible experience for its audience. And it's what Google has is a very in-depth algorithm, essentially, a mathematical algorithm. And they work at making making that algorithm better and better through time. And so what ended up happening is they've got algorithms that are specifically focused on just making the website more, making their search engine more intuitive, helping users find what they want even easier. And then they've also got other algorithm updates that focus on getting rid of items that may be showing in the top results that are there really through fake positive signals. In other words, what they've done is they've gamed their way to the front page through things that that Google doesn't see as valuable to their audience. And here's a good description of it. Many of you have probably come across a website where you read through an article. At the very bottom of the article, you'll see comments and maybe read through some of those. And some of the comments make sense, but you'll end up coming across comments that are where the name is something like Louis Vuitton purses. And the comment will be almost nonsensical sounding. Things like, you know, hey, blog greats, it's clear that you spend lots of time interneting, and then it'll also have a link. Well, those are called comment links. And that's just one example of how people would try to game the system rather than trying to make an effort to provide a good information or some type of value to the online audience. They would use gaming techniques. You know, that comment offered no value to people who are reading the article. It didn't provide any type of value to the owner, but it did manage to help with the rankings of, or used to, with the site that link from the comment was pointing to, and we call those comment links. And so Google's algorithm is constantly updating to try to get rid of things like that, things that don't provide value to the internet as a whole. So I think that's a good snapshot, just trying to lay the foundation there with how Google responds and why it responds to these things like that.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense, and I'm pretty sure. I've seen lots of those comment spam things. As a webmaster myself, of course, I see a lot of those comment spams come through my WordPress sites, and that's kind of frustrating because I have to continuously delete them, or I have to install a plugin to try to delete them, which can be frustrating. There's lots of spam on the internet, and I can just imagine Google, with all their smart programmers over there, are trying to decrease that and make the internet funner or more fun for everybody else out there. So, yeah, thanks for just kind of helping us understand a little more what Google algorithm is, and then also maybe help users understand, because I know Penguin, it specifically addressed backlinks, but why is a backlink important, and why does Google target that specifically? It sounds like backlinks might be really important to Google in how they rank websites. And actually, what does ranking mean as well?
Oh, sure. So backlinks are very important. You can think of backlinks as an endorsement, is how Google looks at it. And you've got two different types of backlinks. You've got a follow, which is the typical backlink, and then you've got a nofollow, which in a nofollow, essentially, you can put the link that you want down in your article, you make it nofollow, and you're telling Google that you don't endorse this this website. And so Google treats them very seriously. And so if you've got a good website and you've put out a fantastic piece of content, when other people see that and they talk about it on their own sites, oftentimes they'll put a link on their website going back to your article. And what Google says is, oh, okay, well, that is a signal that people are finding value in that specific article. And they take that into account in their algorithm. They take into account, first of all, what kind of quality site is giving you this endorsement? What do they talk about? Are they authoritative in the stuff that they talk about? Are they above board? And meaning, are they clear of doing any kind of spammy things? And so Google has that and many more things that it takes into account, but that endorsement that website gives you helps with Google figuring out what you provide, what is important that you provide. And so when it comes time to showing relevant search results on the Google search engine, there's limited space and they want to provide what's best. And so they go through several different factors, everything from how users respond to your website to these endorsements that you get from other websites. They take all that into account, and those different algorithm factors determine how your website is going to rank. And so those are the different things that Google takes into account, and how Penguin is specifically focused on this ranking algorithm that Google has in play.
So specifically focused on Penguin, I know there's other algorithm updates we're going to be talking about, but maybe how can our listeners know if their website has been affected by this update? Because I think, you know, a lot of our listeners aren't necessarily just looking at their websites trying to determine, you know, they might look at their traffic in Google Analytics, but they're not really following their rankings and things like that. How would it affect the local search engine optimization clients, and would it have a different effect on local versus people who are trying to rank for national key terms, things like that?
Yeah, it does. And at the moment, Penguin has not had quite as much teeth in the local rankings. What that means is you can tackle things like your Google Local Places. You can focus on doing your testimonial campaigns, and you can still get some local rankings even under a Penguin penalty. But if you're going to try to go national, or if your local rankings aren't robust because of taking advantage of Google Local, then you're not going to be found. You'll have extremely diminished ranking results. And so really, under Penguin penalty, if you want to show local, then Google Local is the only route that you can go. You aren't going to be able to get those local results off of your website itself.
Yeah, that's interesting. So local's not quite as affected, but would you say there is an effect on the local listings, or is there, I mean, if you have a local map placement listing, can you still have an organic decrease in your rankings from a Penguin penalty?
Yes, you can. You'll still see some impact. And it'll still affect your local rankings. The difference is being able to have some visibility versus no visibility. That is through Google Local Places. And so it's not actually your website that's showing per se. It's that Google Local Places specifically, but you're going to be affected all over from the Penguin update in both local and national. But just the difference is that you'll be able to still have some visibility if you focus on ranking through Google Local Places.
So, listeners, it sounds like if you see a huge decrease in business from your website, then it might be a very good indication that potentially your website is penalized by a Penguin update or another update. Is there any sort of tool that might easily help listeners quickly see if they are penalized or not? Can Google Webmaster Tools help them out with that if they have access to that?
Yeah, you can get an idea of what's going on with Google Webmaster Tools. You'll start seeing drops in the keywords that are coming up in search results. You'll see drops in your impressions and stuff. Another tool that is also helpful is SEMrush.com. That's SEMrush.com. And you can take just a quick snapshot of your website. You just put your URL in. Right on the front, and then it'll give you an idea of your traffic and your organic keywords. Just go down and click on organic keywords there, just on the word, and then you'll see your entire ranking profile over all time show up. And from there you can see, okay, have I gone up? Have I gone down? And if you have a serious decrease in calls or in contacts via form, I would really recommend looking at that, because it's very, very possible that you've been hit by one of these algorithm updates. And there are ways that you can get over penalties. It takes some work. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of work, but it is possible, and that'll help get your lead volume back up so that you can keep sales humming along. And keep seeing growth via your online presence.
Now, I was just reading an article on Search Engine Journal the other day. It showed up on my Facebook wall, you know, and you know how those sponsored posts show up. And I clicked on it and read the article, and it was talking about how Penguin has not updated for the last year. So one of the things you mentioned, Neil, was the disavow tool and how companies were going in and using the disavow tool, but the thing was, it didn't seem to be working, where people thought they could disavow their backlinks, and maybe you could explain what that means, and then their website would come back from penalty. But what it appears to look like is that the disavow tool didn't work until this new Penguin 3.0 update, which basically helped everybody understand that actually, Google never updated Penguin for a full year. So what do you think about that, and what's that disavow tool?
Yeah. So basically, from October 4th through October 17th, Google didn't do any updating to Penguin 2.1. And so in spite of all these companies who were locked into this penalty, trying to take care of their backlink profile and scrambling to try to get out of this penalty as fast as possible, because it was hard. It was very hard. I mean, you would see businesses completely flatline. And if a business's primary method of getting new sales in and getting new leads in were online, they would have to start over on a new domain. And, of course, that meant a serious hit to revenue. And so they're trying to recover from a lower amount of funds even being available if they didn't hop on it right on time. And, of course, a lot of these companies would go through and they sunk everything that they had into trying to recover their primary site instead of starting over with another site and building on that. And it was a very hard time, and probably one of the biggest examples of Google's willingness to sink its teeth into companies that aren't willing to provide fantastic benefits for the search engine audience. And so what we've got here is Penguin 2.0, first of all, rolled out on the 22nd, and then we find 2.1 on October 4th. And Google told companies that, okay, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to go through, find all the bad links, or what we would consider bad links, and you need to ask all the webmasters to remove those or to change them. And so companies went through and did it. Well, of course, they're not going to be able to reach all the webmasters. And so Google also mentioned that, okay, for those that you aren't able to reach, we are going to have a system where you can take an Excel spreadsheet. You're going to fill in which links and which sites that you do not want to be associated with. And then we want you to fill that out. And then you're going to use our disavow tool. Essentially, you're disavowing these links. In other words, you're saying, we don't have anything to do with these. We don't want these to be considered as part of our link profile. And so people would upload that spreadsheet using Google's disavow tool, and then Google would take that, and then the idea was that would also be taken into account for helping people pull out of this Penguin penalty. Well, so companies did this, and of course, for the longest time, nothing would happen on an algorithmic penalty for Penguin, and so a lot of companies were just thinking, well, sometime in the future, a refresh will happen, hopefully, and we'll be able to come out. But it's time to jump ship. We aren't seeing any changes in spite of doing exactly what Google told us to do. And so that was frustrating. And so, as I had mentioned before, I think a lot of people are extremely happy to see this refresh come about. All that work that they put into using Google's disavow tool, cleaning up their link profile, all that work finally paying off as they're seeing themselves released from this penalty and being able to move forward. And of course, now Google has this very well-made statement that you gotta run by their rules, otherwise they're gonna lock you down, and it can be so much so that it literally takes your business down, depending on how heavy you rely on search engine rankings for business.
Well, we're talking to Neil Enigs here from Fanit.com, and we're talking about the latest Google algorithm updates. We've just covered Penguin, which is about the backlink profile of your website. And we're going to continue covering algorithm updates that are related more towards your content, and that is the Panda updates. So let's go ahead and dive into that topic, Neil. Could you maybe explain what is the Panda update and how does that affect clients' websites?
Sure. So the Panda update was introduced around February of 2011, and basically what it was is it was designed to stop websites that had really poor quality content from making their way to the top Google search results. Now, instead of being more like Penguin, where it was just updated, the algorithm was made live and then it wasn't refreshed, Panda is updated from time to time. We see refreshes with it regularly, and so companies that are hit by this are able to pull out, have been able to consistently pull out of this penalty when they do it right. But the panda penalty really focuses on, as I mentioned, just poor content. What you ended up having happen was you'll have websites, you'll have companies who will put out websites, they'll just leave them, and it'll just be really bare bones. Or you have marketers. We've seen it before where some companies will do these hack techniques of duplicate content or spun content that provides no value whatsoever. And I'm sure you've probably come across those articles too, maybe in Google News or other things where you'll read it and you'll think, wow, the wording on that is just really odd. Well, some of these companies were using software, actually. And that's part of the reason why you'll see some articles look just really odd. They would take the same article, they would use their software to spin it 10, 20, 50, 80 times over, and then they would send it out to all sorts of different sites without giving attribution back to the original article, and they were using that as a way to try to boost their rankings. And so that's just one of the techniques that Google Panda was focusing on getting rid of. As you can imagine, it'd be quite frustrating to come across stuff like that. It really doesn't provide value at all.
Yeah, I've heard about this quality content thing, right? And maybe some of our listeners have heard of that too. You're supposed to have quality content on your website, but I just think it's interesting, and maybe you could give a little insight into this. What is quality content? I was just talking with a client, and you have two pieces of really high quality content, and maybe they talk about the same thing, but they're unique in nature, but they're both just of the same high value. So technically, those are really average pieces of content now. What then would be considered a higher piece of quality content? And I think it's kind of interesting how Google ranks really high quality content, but it's all based upon the user experience and the engagement factors on those pieces of content. So maybe you could give some insight into what that means.
Sure. Yeah. So, quality content, really Google looks at how users are responding. And as mentioned before, you know, Google looks at different endorsements. Well, Google also looks at how people are responding on your website itself. And it's one of the reasons why it's important to have a nicely designed, easy to use, website. Because Google is looking at that. Google is monitoring that, trying to evaluate what your content is like. And so it's interesting because, as you said, you can have two pieces of content, both be absolutely fantastic, maybe they can be just as good as their counterpart. But Google will take one and rank it higher because of the way users are engaging. And where you have pictures put on the website, your design, all those factors go into influencing how people are engaging, and that those engagement metrics impact how valuable Google rates the content that you're providing to your audience. And so in this, in the Pandascape, as we see it, companies are really encouraged to move to this principle of providing as valuable a content as they can to their audience. And so what does that mean? Does that mean that you can't write about a certain topic if there's already a really good piece of content out there on another site. Well, no. It's good. It's what provides good value to your audience specifically. And so I'll give fanit.com, you know, as an example. You know, we talk about different algorithm updates. We talk about different marketing techniques. And do other websites talk about that? Well, there are, yeah. And but do we still write about these topics? Well, we do, because it's valuable to our audience. And so even though you may not be the you know, the only QuickBooks company out there, or the only IT company out there, it's still valuable to write about the different topics in your industry, things that provide a good resource for your audience specifically, as long as it's unique, it's coming from you, and that's really the principle. It's focusing on really your voice as a company. It's unique to your company. It's providing unique value to your audience. And that's what Google wants to see. And it's principles like that that help guide our search engine marketing for the future. As we want to be able to get rankings, as you want to be able to reach people on the search engines, that's the key defining principle. You know, it's not necessarily how do I stay abreast of Panda, how do I stay abreast of Penguin, what can I do to keep ahead of these. You want to focus on the principles, and the principles are, of course, there's technical work that needs to happen for this, but focus on providing value. And just ask that anytime we're coming out to something, is this providing value for my audience? And that's the reason that we focus on that, is because that's the same principle that Google uses. And so if we're lining up with that same idea, that same thought as we come to marketing, then we can be confident, or a company can be confident, that they are going to just automatically stay abreast of these penalties that are seeking to take out things that are gamed or provide low value or no value. And so I think that really describes best just the focus that we want to have for the future, that any company should have moving forward, rather than just, you know, worrying, oh, what about the next update? Well, let's just focus on what's right, what's good for our audience.
Those are fantastic tips, and I think a really good wrap-up for today's show, just leaving on that note. I really appreciate you being with us here today. Neil, if you need help and with your website, if you're not sure if you're in a algorithmic penalty on your website, now that you have a better understanding of what that means, go ahead and go to fanit.com, fanit.com, and contact Neil Enix over there, and he will help you with your website. He can even help you determine if you have a penalty or not, if you're not quite sure how to do that. I'll be putting links down in the description for you guys to those tools, SEMrush. And I also am going to put a link to an article Neil wrote called How to Determine and Fix a Google Algorithm Penalty Using These 5 Steps. So you guys can go in there and read up a little more on exactly how to do that. He has some good images, pictures that you can follow on exactly how you can get yourself out of a penalty if you think you are in one. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Be sure to check out our past shows at cloudtalkradio.com. We're here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. reviewing the latest technology spotlight for great cloud-based tools. Today was Zoho.com. And those tools can help your business be more effective, as well as interviewing industry leaders who can help your business grow. This is Keith Enix from Cloud Talk Radio, hoping you have a wonderful week, and looking forward to having you join us next week on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Keep your business growing and your tools in the cloud.
Thanks so much for listening to Cloud Talk Radio with your hosts, Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix. Want to listen to past shows and stay up to date on new ones? Check them out online, cloudtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time.
Sprint presents Lie Detector. Kyle and Audrey have been hooked up to a lie detector. Let's see who's telling the truth and who's lying.
I have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so I never have to wait to get the newest iPhone.
I don't have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so it's 15 months until I can upgrade to the new iPhone 6S. But I don't mind waiting. And I'm not jealous of your new iPhone either. Honestly, I'm not lying.
Get the fire extinguisher!
On second thought, can I just switch to Sprint?
The world's best offer on iPhone 6S. Get iPhone 6S as low as $1 a month when you trade in your iPhone 6. And with iPhone Forever, get a new iPhone every year forever.
Offer not available everywhere. Includes 21-month lease, no security deposit, excludes taxes, subject to well-qualified credit, new line port, and $36 activation fee. Requires smartphone trade-in, regular $22 a month. iPhone Forever's lease upgrade eligibility does not guarantee monthly payment amount, phone selection, or plan rates. Service is additional charge. Remaining lease payments due if service canceled. Restrictions apply. See Sprint.com.